Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, we got a lot to get through today. Hope you're looking forward to a happy Thanksgiving tomorrow with family and friends, and hope that's going to be an awesome, joyous, beautiful time for you. And over the weekend, I'm happy to be here live today. Praise the Lord. And then we'll not be, obviously, broadcasting tomorrow or Friday, taking those days off. Our oldest is coming up from Orlando, so we're just going to be the six Nobles here in North Carolina for the weekend, which is awesome. Monday, I'll do the show. Then I'll drive up to D.C. doing the show from Museum of the Bible, which just hit 1 year, their first-year anniversary, and their 1 millionth visitor. Really cool. So I'll do the show there. Actually, from the inside the museum down, like near the displays and stuff, next Tuesday, because we're going to talk to some folks that just happened to be walking through the museum that day. I've been wanting to do that for a while. But today on Thanksgiving, I want to do a couple things, and hopefully we'll have the time for it. I want to share some history, correct history of Thanksgiving, and some things that you've probably never heard before, actual writings from back in the day, and what was happening then. And then I want to open up the phones as soon as possible and give you an opportunity. And my question for you today is simple, straightforward. One thing only, just one thing, be very specific, that you're really thankful for, thanking the Lord, in the past year since last Thanksgiving. Or if you just want to do this calendar year, that's fine. But try to think of something specific. And let's give some glory to the Lord today as we do that together here on the air. And then by the end of the show, I will get to something I wrote several years ago called 66 Things to be Thankful for from the 66 books of the Bible. These are kind of one-liners for each book of the Bible, all 66, all the way through. It takes me about 6 minutes to get through it. So we'll do that in the final segment, and then I'll try to get to the phones in the next segment and give you a chance to call in and share something and just give glory to God and praise to God publicly here on the airwaves. As we are continue to grow across the country, 13 states now, I think, and 33 stations and like 24 markets, something like that. Anyway, we praise the Lord for that, and that's definitely something that I'm thankful for this year. Okay, so let's do some, and if you want to just get ready for the phone calls later, it's 866-34-TRUTH. That's the phone number, okay? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH, and we'll get the phone lines going in the next segment. So back to the actual Thanksgiving, okay? You got, this starts back leading up to 1620, August of 1620, when the original religious separatists, you call them pilgrims, history and reality calls them religious separatists, leave. They kind of got pushed up out of the Church of England, not allowing people to serve the Lord and praise the Lord and worship the Lord in their own way. And so there was religious persecution going on. That's what the church and the state were all too mixed. England was going back and forth between Protestantism and Catholicism. It was a messy situation. And people that were just trying to follow the Lord, purists, were being persecuted like crazy. And so they were pushing north. They ended up in Holland, and then they ended up in August of 1620. 41 of them, 42 actually, but 41 signers on something called the Mayflower Compact, which I'll share with you in a little bit, to come over here. They were fleeing persecution. They wanted religious freedom. They wanted the opportunity to follow the Lord and worship the Lord and learn about the Lord and praise the Lord, how they felt compelled to do it, and not under the yoke of the Church of England, which was really just an offshoot, ultimately, to speak generally, of the Catholic Church, controlled from the top down, as opposed to you have access to your Lord and Savior on your own. You do not need a priest or the church to do that for you, although we're called to be in fellowship, obviously. And God gives some to be teachers and pastors and so on and so forth. But that was what was going on. So they risked everything, religious separatists, to flee and come here to this land across the Atlantic to try to have religious freedom. And on their way over here, William Bradford, who was the leader, he's the one that raised money and had investors in order to pull it off. Tiny little ship there in the Mayflower, 102 people on board. And they were Puritans, they were religious separatists, and on the way over, he penned something called the Mayflower Compact. Now, this is, I was talking about this earlier today, but I don't know if he got into the actual quotes and things, where it's just so obvious these people's allegiance to not only God in general, but to the God of the Bible and to Jesus Christ. These are just amazing and encouraging things to read and to consider, which we don't often hear about. So he's coming over, William Bradford. He pens the Mayflower Compact, 1620, 41 signers. In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord, King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, and etc., having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith and the honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents, solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid. And by virtue hereto, enact, constitute, and frame just such and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and officers from time to time as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience. So, and then they all sign up, 41 signers, okay? What the essence of this and what actually happened, and we don't talk about this much, and the schools certainly don't teach it because they're so liberally biased, was collectivism, essentially socialism. Okay, we're all just going to put everything in the same pot, and then we'll take care of each other. Okay, it'll be fine. Except that's not how God designed us. He designed us to be generous, yes, but to be productive. That's the Imago Dei, to work and to be productive. And this kind of caused a problem, which almost killed them all. And that's where this is not generally talked about, that what they set up with the Mayflower Compact was an agreement for collectivism, essentially. And so how did that work? Well, you know, they landed in November, and through that first winter, because the collectivism thing was not working at all and it continued to cause problems, half of them died that very first winter. And there wasn't enough food, and there was all kinds of problems. And this wasn't when the little party happened with the Indians and the people, the pilgrims and the big hats and all that stuff. That didn't happen right away because they didn't have anything. It wasn't working. And so you get to, and you actually can find this in William Bradford's journal, of course, was the leader there back in the time. And in 1623, in his journal, something called Private and Communal Farming, he talks about the train wreck that collectivism was. See, we don't talk about this. We just talk about these nice pilgrim people coming to a new land for opportunity. They meet some Indians. They have a big meal. And welcome to America. No, there's a very important political conversation that needs to be had here, as well as the providence of God and God's hand upon them and doing things God's way instead of man's way. So I'm going to share from an article called Lessons from a Capitalist Thanksgiving. Whoa. That was actually in Forbes magazine by Jerry Boyer. Really points out what's going on. What happened then? And then I'll quote to you from William Bradford's journal in 1623. We'll move on from there as we celebrate Thanksgiving. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, the day before Thanksgiving. I hope you will take some time today, tomorrow, over the weekend to really count your blessings. I think we struggle with that. Often we tend to focus just on what's negative, which is important. We need to do that and pray for one another and pray for ourselves. But I think it's also important that we have a spirit of thanksgiving and praise. I know that it's easy to sit there and go, there's so many things wrong. The world's so screwed up. It's broken. This really stinks. And all those things are true. But there's a lot of other stuff that is worthy of praise. So today, if you feel moved, if you want to share some of that on the air today, one thing, be specific, please, not too long. But if you want to call in and share something that you're really grateful for, thankful for, that God has done in your life this year, please give us a call. I'm going to keep going through some history here, but if you want to drop that in, I'm happy to pause and give you the floor, and you can share that, and we'll just praise the Lord together for what he's done in your life. 866-348-7884 is the number, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Right before I give out the phone number, I can kind of hear my dad in the back of my head saying, quit talking so quickly. So I slow down. 866-34-TRUTH is the phone number if you want to share something that you're really grateful for that the Lord has done in your life this year. Okay, so we were talking about Thanksgiving, 1620, August, they take off. And then November of 1620, they land. Things don't go well. They have the original Mayflower Compact, which is basically collectivism, call it socialism. And it's failing miserably. Half of them die. This whole thing's falling apart, okay? We don't talk about this because this is too political. And in the world of education, which is almost exclusively liberal, they don't want to go down this road. Another failed liberal experiment, right? So this is from an article that was in Forbes, Lessons from a Capitalist Thanksgiving. It's by Jerry Boyer. It's astonishing and a little horrifying that America's elites know so little about their country's history. Case in point, Jared Bernstein of the Economic Policy Institute. Jared's an influential leftist economic polemicist and sometime advisor to Barack Obama. This article is a couple years old. On economic affairs, I've debated with him several times, but what happened this week was especially disturbing. On Monday night, I told Larry Kudlow about the story of the first Thanksgiving. I explained that the first Thanksgiving was a celebration of abundance after a period of socialism and starvation, which to a lot of people just sounds like, oh, typical Republican. Why'd you bring that in here? He brought it in because it's historical. It seems that this guy never heard about this chapter in U.S. history. He called it an exercise in revisionist history. Nice try. Admitting that he had never read the memoirs of Plymouth Governor William Bradford, which I'll read this particular section to you in a second. Bradford's historical accounts have been read by school children somewhere for over 300 years. The members of the Plymouth colony had arrived in the New World with a plan for collective property ownership. That was in the Mayflower Compact. Reflecting the current opinion of the aristocratic class in the 1620s, their charter called for farmland to be worked communally and for the harvest to be shared. You're probably not to be surprised to hear that the colonists starved. Many were unwilling to work to feed someone else's children. Women were unwilling to cook for another woman's husband. Fields lay largely untilled and unplanted. Famine came as soon as they ate through their provisions. After famine came plague, and half the colony died. Unlike most socialists, the author writes, they learned from their mistakes, giving each person a parcel of land to tend for themselves. And that's when things changed, and that's what led to abundance, and that's what led to the Thanksgiving celebration that we're all aware of, okay? And I'm going to read here in a second from William Bradford's journal, but I'm going to jump over to Clay. He's calling in from Raleigh. All right, Crick. Clay, thanks for calling in, bro. Thanks for taking the time. What do you want to share today?
Hey, Brother Steve, God bless you. And you know what? I know tomorrow's Thanksgiving, so I'm going to go say happy Thanksgiving to you and everybody out there. Happy Thanksgiving to y'all out there listening to Truth Radio. I just would like to say how thankful I am for this radio station, how thankful I am for you, and how thankful I am for the Lord for what he does. You know, I just got through going to a funeral service earlier today and got to hear a man preach about another man who loved the Lord. And then I got to go and do the Helping Hands mission today and spent several hours over there. And I just wanted to, I just felt led to let everybody know, sacrifice a little of your time to help people out and give for what the Lord gave to us, because it's well worth it.
Amen.
I'm extremely grateful and thankful because, you know, if it weren't for people like you coming on the radio and saying the things that you say and sharing the things that you share, you know, we wouldn't be able to hear and know stuff like that. And I just, brother, I'm going to tell you what, you know that where I come from, and you don't know my complete story, but you in a way know what I'm about. And I'm so grateful and thankful that the Lord has put you in this position to be part of this radio station. So I want to say that, and I just want to tell you how much you mean to me, that I love you. I'm very appreciative of the fact that you are the person the Lord made you to be, and here you are.
Amen. There you go. Clay, thanks so much. You're always so encouraging and so kind. Thank you for sharing that. That's a great word. I really appreciate it.
All right, brother. God bless you, man.
You too, pal.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Talk to you later. That's Clay. Always uplifting and so encouraging, and that's it's a little uncomfortable. But I receive that and appreciate that and praise the Lord for all of it. All the glory goes to God. 866-34-TRUTH, if you'd like to share something you're really thankful for and give God some glory here on the airwaves across the country. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, William Bradford's journal, 1623. Here's his entrance, his entry, talking about private and communal farming after they were all starving to death, okay? They're all dying because of this whole communal socialistic approach. Didn't work. Obviously. This is William Bradford from his journal. So they began to think about how they might raise as much corn as they could and obtain a better crop than they had done, that they might not still thus languish in misery. At length, after much debate of things, the governor, with the advice of the chiefest amongst them, gave way that they should set corn every man for his own particular, meaning private property, right? They're going to take care of themselves. And in that regard, trust to themselves, rely on yourself, right? and all of the things to go on in the general way as before. And so assign to every family a parcel of land, private property rights, according to the proportion of their number for that end, only for present use, but made no division for inheritance, and ranged all boys and youth under some family so that everybody can divide, you know, go work for somebody, okay, get a job. This had very good success, for it made all hands very industrious, so as much more corn was planted than otherwise would have been by any means the governor of any other could use, and saved him a great deal of trouble and gave far better content. The women now went willingly into the field and took their little ones with them to set corn, which before would allege weakness and inability, whom to have compelled would have thought great tyranny and oppression. The experience that was had in this common course and condition tried sundry years, and that amongst godly and sober men may well evince that the vanity of that conceit of Plato's and other ancients applauded by some of later times, and that the taking away of property and bringing in community into a commonwealth would make them happy and flourishing. So he's saying, yeah, Plato was crazy. As if they were wiser than God, William Bradford wrote, going, yeah, we totally messed this up. It didn't work. For this community, so far as it was found to be was found to breed much confusion and discontent and retard much employment that would have been in their benefit and comfort. And then he goes on to talk about how things were going wrong. He finishes with this. Upon the point all being to have alike and all to do alike, that they thought themselves in the like condition and as one as good as another. And so, if it did not cut off those relations that God hath set amongst men, yet it did at least much diminish and take off the mutual respect that should be preserved amongst them. People weren't carrying their own weight, right? That's the problem. Why? Because of sin and human depravity, of course. And would have been worse if they had been men of another condition. So it was already bad enough, and they were Christians. Most of them were believers, and it was bad because they still had sin. Let none object this is men's corruption. That's where he's calling it. He's calling it out, sin. Nothing to the course itself. I answer, seeing all men have this corruption in them, God in wisdom saw another course fitter for them. Follow God's way, which means be productive, the imago Dei, the image of God, work, and then out of your generosity, serve others. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, celebrating Thanksgiving a little bit early. But we should always be thankful. So I've got the phones open if you want to call in and share something you're thankful to the Lord for this year. And let's just give him glory and praise and honor together right here on the open airwaves in America. We can still do that. So let's do it. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. I'll explain some more of some history, but I want to make sure we get to your calls too and give the Lord the credit he so richly deserves. Let's jump over to Vicky, who's calling in from Wake Forest. Vicky, I'm sorry I had to put you on hold there for a while. Go right ahead.
That's okay. How you doing today, Steve?
Good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Well, someone in my church says I'm blessed.
Amen. That's right.
I have one that kind of leads to another, but real quick. My stepson, who's 47 years old, had a heart attack a few weeks ago, and he survived.
Wow. Praise God.
But the best thing, him and his dad had been kind of at odds, and the Lord has used this to start bringing them back together.
Wow,
so it's really a miracle. It's just wonderful.
That's awesome. How about that? See, that's and you know, and it doesn't always go that way, but when it does, we need to stop and give God thanks for it, because that's just his
hand.
And that's what he desires.
And everybody in the family knows that it's God.
Yeah,
it can't be
awesome.
Anything else.
Yeah,
or anyone
so
else.
Good. Praise the Lord for that. Vicky, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that. I appreciate
it. Well, you
it.
Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You do the same. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Let's go to, if you want to call in and share, by the way, by all means, please do. The phones are open. The air is here for you to use and to glorify God. Just to call in and share something that you're thankful for would be awesome. Something this year, late last year, since last Thanksgiving, really. But we do this as a family. We'll do it tomorrow over dinner, and I hope you would do that as well. We don't often take the time to kind of look and go, okay, what should I be thankful for here? What can I be thankful for? But if you want to share that, that would be awesome. 866-348-7884 is the number, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. I don't think I'm asking for too much. Do you? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Taylor's calling in right here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Taylor. Thanks for calling in.
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you today?
Good, good. So I just first want to thank you for just, I trust your opinion very much so because you use a biblical worldview, and I love how you take that and apply it to real world situations and
Amen.
Things that are happening. So it definitely sharpens the way that I see the world. So I thank you. But the main thing.
I lost you. Are you still there, Taylor? I heard you say, I'm going to put you on hold, see if he gets in a better, and let me see if I can get him back, because I want to give him a chance to share that last part. Taylor, are you still there? All right, hey, pick up on the other end and see if you can get Taylor on there. He might have just hit a bad cell or something. But if you want to call in and share, and then we'll get back to Taylor, just let me know, Jasper, if you guys get that figured out. But Taylor, if you want to call back, I'd love to hear that second part. That would be great. 866-348-7884. Thanks for your kind words and encouragement, of course. That was kind of you. But if you want to call back, Taylor, anybody else and want to share, give something, give some glory to God. Don't be nervous. I'm not quizzing you or anything. We're just giving you a chance to kind of shout it out from the rooftop. So that shouldn't be a big ask for any of us. Just something specific that you want to thank the Lord for here publicly, and we'll all praise him together with you. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH is the phone number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Please share that. So back to what I was talking about, William Bradford's journal. So they had this whole collectivist mentality, and then people took advantage of it. Not everybody carried their weight. They didn't want to help anybody else. It kind of shot everything in the foot. And half of them died, starvation and disease and all that stuff. And then that's when they met Samoset and Squanto. Samoset first, an Indian that spoke kind of broken English. And then Squanto, who had actually been enslaved once, taken to Great Britain, he spoke beautiful English. And they helped these Puritans learn how to farm the land and where to fish and all that kind of stuff. So once they got away from their collectivist socialist ideals, which was in the Mayflower Compact, then things started to thrive. They each got their own property, and they were responsible for taking care of themselves. And then out of their generosity, they helped each other, which is the way God designed it to work, right in the garden, to work it, to be productive, and then to be generous. So the socialist thing fell apart, and the individual property rights and, yes, call it capitalism, succeeded. And that's when they finally had, 2 years later, that's when they had the Thanksgiving feasts that we're aware of. In their abundance, things had turned around. They had learned, and the Indians, thank the Lord for that, who helped them. And so you hear all kinds of other takes on Thanksgiving, which is a bunch of garbage. But that's what really happened, and there is a political lesson there. God created us in his image to be productive, to work, to not be lazy, and then out of our generosity to help each other. That's also the lesson of the book of Acts early on. That's what they did. As others had need, they sold their stuff. How do they have stuff, Steve? Well, because they earned stuff. They were industrious, the imago Dei, the image of God. And then they turned around and said, is there any need in the church? I'll sell a piece of land that I bought with money that I earned, and then I'm going to help other people. Awesome. Woo. Wow, how about that? Imagine that. Fast forward 7 years. This is a great one. It's called The City Upon a Hill by John Winthrop. Really, really famous sermon. He was a New England Puritan, and I'm just showing you this because this is what was going on early in the days. So here's just some excerpts from it. Now, the only way to avoid the shipwreck being the wrath of God that falls on nations who fail to do the Lord's way, right? That's what he's talking about. That's what he means by shipwreck. And to provide for our posterity is to follow the counsel of Micah, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. For this end, we must be knit together in this work as one man. We must entertain each other in brotherly affection. We must be willing to abridge ourselves of our superfluities. For the supply of others' necessities, we must uphold a familiar commerce together in all meekness, gentleness, patience, and liberality. We must delight in each other, make other conditions our own, rejoice together, mourn together, labor and suffer together, always having before our eyes our commission and community and the work, our community as members of the same body. Oh, I wonder where they got that idea. See, just a beautiful passage. Sounds a lot like the Sermon on the Mount. That they have to, you know, take care of themselves and care for each other. Imagine that. So that we shall see much more of his wisdom, power, goodness, and truth than formerly we have been acquainted with. They're talking about who? The Lord. He goes on, we shall find that the God of Israel is among us, when 10 of us shall be able to resist 1,000 of our enemies, when he shall make us a praise and glory that men shall say of succeeding plantations. The Lord make it like that of New England. So when we follow the Lord, it works and other people notice. That's your testimony. For we must consider, this is the beautiful part, I share this in my Constitution course that I teach. For we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us. So that if we shall deal falsely with our God in this work we have undertaken, and so cause him to withdraw his present help from us, we shall be made a story and a byword throughout the world. We shall open the mouths of enemies to speak evil of the way of God and all professors for God's sake. We shall shame the faces of many of God's worthy servants and cause their prayers to be turned into curses upon us till we be consumed out of the good land whither we are going. Now that should sound alarming to you, because I think that's largely what's happening to America today. He goes on to say this. And to shut up this discourse with that exhortation of Moses, that faithful servant of the Lord in his last farewell to Israel in Deuteronomy 30. Beloved, there is now set before us life and good, death and evil, and that we are commanded this day to love the Lord our God and to love one another, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his ordinance and his laws and the articles of our covenant with him, that we may live and be multiplied and that our Lord our God may bless us in the land whither we go to possess it. So he's again coming back to, hey, choose God's way, you get life. Choose the world's way, you get death. He finishes with this. Therefore, let us choose life, that we and our seed may live by obeying his voice and cleaving to him, for he is our life and our prosperity. That's going all the way back to 1630. Okay? Amazing, isn't it? All the way back to 1630. By the way, if you want to call in and just share something, that would be awesome. 866-348-7884 if you want to give thanks to the Lord for something on the air. We'd be happy to have you join us here on the radio. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let me jump into this. This was George Washington's first Thanksgiving proclamation. And you're not going to hear this very often either. You know, it's a little too Jesus-y, right? We don't want to go there. A little too much God. A little too much Almighty God. We, you know, don't go there. New York, 3rd of October, 1789. Oh, Taylor's calling back from Raleigh. I think they're talking to him right quick. I'm going to get to Taylor here as soon as he's available so he can finish up what he was saying earlier. They're going to put him on hold and then I'll pick him up. By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. See how much we've lost of this? Goodness, it's sad. To obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. Who's he talking about? God. Not some generic little G God. He's talking about the God of the Bible. Let's jump over to Taylor right quick. Taylor, thanks so much for calling back in, bro. Sorry about that. Go ahead and finish up what you were saying.
No problem. I don't even know where I left off.
You were really kind to me, and then you were going to say something else that you were thankful for.
Oh, okay. So the biggest thing that I'm thankful for is, of course, my wife and I were saved earlier this year. So
that is awesome.
Yeah. So I just can't. I couldn't imagine being in a relationship with Jesus Christ to the point that I am right now, and it's only been less than a year. And so
that's incredible.
I'm just super excited. And what the future is going to be like, how much I can't imagine how much more I can possibly love the Lord.
That's right. Amen. But you will. You will. That's awesome.
It's wild, dude.
God bless you, Taylor. Thanks for calling in, man. Praising the Lord with you. Love you, too. Talk to you later. We'll be right back.
Brant.
Welcome back. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. I hope you're looking forward to a wonderful weekend. And be bold. That doesn't mean you need to be loud or obnoxious, but be bold and find out where people that you're with this tomorrow, especially, and then over the weekend. Find out where they're with the Lord. Do they have any spiritual beliefs? What do you think about that? You know, we thank God on these days, but do you know him? Be willing to go there. I mean, I know it's uncomfortable with family, and believe me, I get it. That's the hardest. For most of us, that's the hardest mission field to work in. But you're not guaranteed tomorrow. I've learned that lesson many times lately. I'm learning it again. Nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. And so don't put off the most important subject. Just like Taylor called in and said, both he and his wife were saved earlier this year. What a huge praise. What a huge answer to prayer for somebody, I'm sure. And so, again, don't be obnoxious, but ask the Lord to help you have the courage to swerve into those spiritual conversations tomorrow. And just look for those opportunities. As soon as somebody says God, if you're the Christian in your family, and oftentimes you get asked to pray, drop the gospel into your prayer. Don't be afraid. God's got your back, and that's the most important thing you can give to anybody, is the truth of God's word, the gospel itself, the difference between death and life. So be bold. Do it out of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But do it. Okay? Share. Share with your loved ones. Real quick, before we dive back into the proclamation and then the 66 things to be thankful for from the 66 books of the Bible, before I run out of time, our friends at MediShare just want to remind you about that. Just a great alternative to the whole mess of Obamacare, the whole mess of the regular insurance path anyway, which is really beginning to be totally unaffordable for most of us. And when we switched, we used MediShare, go back to, I think, 2011, and our regular insurance through a big name brand that you would know, literally was becoming unaffordable. So we found out about MediShare, a Christian ministry, literally, over 300,000 members across the country have shared over $1 billion over the years they've been around, over two decades now. It's just an incredible ministry. Most families will share about 500, will save about $500 a month. Really an incredible opportunity. It could be less or more depending on your circumstances. But man, you should definitely take a couple minutes to find out about MediShare and how it works and then see how it would work for you. It's really an incredible program. And like I said, we switched to it. That was back in 2011, and it was a huge blessing for us. 844-744-BIBLE is the number, 844-744-BIBLE, to check out. And you would be wise to do so, everything that God is doing at MediShare. So back to Thanksgiving proclamation from George Washington, then I'll get into that list before I run out of time. So you'll see where he gives credit for all these things going on, okay? To recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. So we're on the other side of the Revolutionary War. We've won, and now the Constitution's been written, okay, 1789. So this is what he's talking. This is George Washington. Designates Thursday, the 26th of November, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, capital B, who is the beneficent author, capital of A, of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence, capital P, which we experienced in the course of conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed. Where is he giving credit here? Where credit is due, God. For the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted. He's talking about the Constitution. For the civil and religious liberty, how about that, with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he hath been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions. Talking about sin. Wow. To enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually. And over and over and over, and he goes, given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789, George Washington. So, boy, have we lost our way. Sad, isn't it? But don't give up. Be prayerful. Be involved. Don't give up. 66 things to be thankful for from the 66 books of the Bible. I'll put this one out tomorrow. This will be tomorrow's Daily Dose devotional. If you don't get those, we're in chapter 16 of Proverbs. Monday through Friday, you get them in the email. Really short, to the point, convicting. I'm usually writing them to myself. And then you get to share in that. But God's been grateful there. He really does some neat stuff in there. And like I said, it doesn't take you very long, a couple minutes. And we're in chapter 16 of Proverbs, so you can check that out. Just text the word DOSE to 66866. That's all you need to do. Text the word DOSE, D-O-S-E, to the number 66866, and you'll get on the email list. So I'll send this out tomorrow, and I'll put it on Facebook, too. Let's go through them. 66 books of the Bible. We'll try to finish this quickly. In Genesis, thankful that God created us in his image. Exodus, thankful that God will lead us out of bondage. Leviticus, thankful that God provides a path to holiness. Numbers, thankful that God stays with us despite our rebellion. Deuteronomy, thankful that God's chosen people are promised an inheritance. Joshua, thankful that God stands by our side as we follow his commands. And Judges, thankful that God is always interested in restoration. And Ruth, that God loves everyone regardless of where they come from. First Samuel, that God answers prayers and raises up strong leaders for his people and that he is our ultimate king. Second Samuel, thankful that God forgives our sins. First Kings, thankful that God reigns supreme. 2 Kings, that God stays with us even when we disappoint him. in 1 Chronicles, that God is sovereign over every detail of history. 2 Chronicles, God will hear our prayers and heal our land, talking about the church, if we repent and humble ourselves. In Ezra, that God can rescue us even when we are far away. In Nehemiah, that God rewards his people when they work together for his glory. In Esther, thankful that God is with us and rewards our faithfulness and courage, like you need tomorrow. In Job, thankful that God is able to bring about righteousness through our suffering. In the Psalms, thankful that God hears and honors our heartfelt prayers. Wow, even when we're mad and discouraged. In Proverbs, thankful that God provides practical help for our everyday lives. That's for sure. Proverbs is amazing for that. Ecclesiastes, that God is the answer to our longings, even after we have gone astray, like Solomon did. In the Song of Solomon, thankful that God has given us the gift of sexual and spiritual fulfillment in marriage. In Isaiah, that God promised a suffering servant to pay our sins. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah, thankful that God has great plans for us. Lamentations, that God always offers us hope, even in the midst of devastation. In Ezekiel, thankful that God can breathe new life into dry bones. Daniel, thankful that God gives us the strength to overcome and triumph in the face of adversity and temptation. In Hosea, that God has unconditional love and compassion towards his own. Joel, that God is slow to anger, gracious and merciful. Amos, thankful that God is the final source of true justice. Obadiah, that God will eventually judge all the enemies of his church. And Jonah, that God desires to reach even the wicked and that he is patient, even with his reluctant servants. And Micah, that God does not retain his anger and that he casts all our sins into the depths of the sea. Thank you, Father. Nahum, thankful that God has patience with the wildly disobedient. Habakkuk, thankful that God rewards our faith rather than our works. Zephaniah, thankful that God does not abandon man completely, but that he always retains a remnant. Haggai, God no longer dwells in the temple, but in the hearts of his people. Zechariah, that God will dwell with us in the New Jerusalem. Malachi, thankful that God rewards us for our obedience and faithfulness. Now the New Testament. Matthew, that God sent the promised Messiah. Mark, God sent Jesus to be our suffering servant. In Luke, God promises Jesus will come again with power and glory. In John, that God makes clear how we can be born again through Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. In Acts, thankful that God established the church and works to build it up. Romans, that God makes faith to triumph even in the midst of trouble. 1 Corinthians, that God has provided a way out of every temptation. 2 Corinthians, that God comforts us in our trouble and then uses us to comfort others who are experiencing the same thing. I love that one. In Galatians, thankful that God gives us the power to live through Christ rather than through our own strength. In Ephesians, thankful that God saves us by grace through faith. Philippians, that God gives us the power to be anxious for nothing as well as the power to experience contentment. It's a biggie. Colossians, thankful that God has revealed the mystery of the gospel to us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. 1 Thessalonians, that God has entrusted us with the gospel until his glorious return. Let's remember that tomorrow. 2 Thessalonians, thankful that God has chosen us for salvation. 1 Timothy, God enables us to work alongside him in his ministry. 2 Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Titus, that God makes us heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And Philemon, thankful that God makes his children spiritual equals. In Hebrews, that God has given us so many heroes of the faith to emulate. In James, thankful that God provides wisdom to all who ask and that he lifts us up when we are humble. 1 Peter, that God has chosen us to be a royal priesthood and a holy nation. 2 Peter, thankful that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And in 1 John, thankful that God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we just confess. Thank you, Lord. 2 John, thankful that God warns us about deceivers. 3 John, thankful that God takes delight in our obedience. In the little book of Jude, thankful that God is able to keep us from stumbling. And then in the end, Revelation. Thankful that God has the final victory and that we will be able to join him in that celebration forever and ever and ever and ever. I love that. 66 things to be thankful for from the 66 books of the Bible. I wrote that several years ago. And just literally... it took a couple hours. Just literally jumped into each book and just kind of scanned and asked the Holy Spirit, you know, show me something here that I can grab. There's obviously a lot more than what I just told you. But just it's just an interesting exercise to do it. And as we finish up, about a minute, I don't say this often enough. I'm amazingly humbled and thankful for you. That you take time out of your busy day, time that God has given you, you're a steward over that, and you invest it, hopefully well, in the show and in what God is saying and what he's doing and me being just an instrument, a tool. And I'm so thankful for you. We've got some big things that we need to do by the end of the year. Things have changed, some big changes for me personally. I'm not getting off the air, but some things going on that we're going to need to ramp up our efforts for the ministry. And I praise God for that. I'm thankful for that opportunity. I'm obviously thankful for my incredible wife, who you can imagine puts up with a lot, and our four kids, and our salvation. We're still living in a free country. I'm thankful for that. But I wanted to make sure you know I'm thankful for you, too. Have a great Thanksgiving, you guys. I love you. And God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.